Would you open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Acts? We're going to start over here and then we're going to move over there. I'll just come stand right over here. Would you open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 8? And we're going to look at the passage of Scripture beginning in verse 26. Same passage of Scripture that I preached on last week, the story of Philip, the deacon who became the evangelist, who had this encounter with this Ethiopian eunuch on that deserted road south of Jerusalem. That encounter in which the Ethiopian was reading Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I? I need somebody to teach me." Philip got in the chariot, taught him. And before that was that encounter was over, that Ethiopian had come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. He had been baptized. And then verse 39 of the passage says that he went away rejoicing. Now, what I told you last week, or the emphasis last week, was on the Ethiopian and how God removed every barrier that was in his path to come to bring that Ethiopian to Christ. Every barrier, the religious barriers, the social barriers, all the barriers that would keep a man or a woman from coming to know Christ have been obliterated. They've been knocked down at the feet of Jesus. And so it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you've been, what you've done, where you've gone, what it is about you, you can be saved. Jesus can save you. He can save anybody if he could save that Ethiopian. Well, this morning, I want to take just a little different tact as we look at this passage of Scripture again. And I want to take it from Philip's perspective. And I want to show you the pattern that God used to bring that Ethiopian to faith in Christ. And I personally believe it's the same pattern of evangelism that God uses to this day. It goes on right here in this church. And I'm going to show you that here in just a second. I think everywhere we go, wherever people are coming to know Christ, God works through this same way. So as an illustration just to begin with an illustration, I've asked a couple of ladies to come and just share a word of testimony this morning. First of all, Carol Jones, Carol and Kristen Parrott, would y'all just come on up here and sit with me? And we're going to do this kind of interview style. I don't know if you've ever been up on the stage before in front of a whole bunch of people, but sometimes it's a little intimidating, and I'll move this out of the way so everybody can see. And so you be in prayer as Carol and Kristen share their testimony. Carol, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, now you have not been a member here at First Baptist Church for very long. You, in fact, just this past year, within the last year, you made a public profession of faith for Christ right here, and then you were baptized in this baptistry just several months ago. Would you just kind of tell us how all that came about, how you came to that place?
Well, about a year ago in February, my husband and I made our first visit here.
Okay.
I was very surprised to see everybody bringing Bibles into church, and I'm sorry, that's just the church I'd gone to, we didn't follow along in our Bibles.
Didn't even have to bring Bibles.
Didn't even have to bring Bibles. We sat down. Well, everybody greeted us like we'd been come to this church forever.
Yeah.
I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd never felt that before. And we sat down in our pew, and when you got up and started preaching, everybody opened their Bibles. And I noticed that in the bulletin it had the Scripture open. And we actually followed along in our Bibles with what you were speaking of. I'd never done that before. And it felt neat to be able to read the Word as you spoke it. Mm-hmm. And we visited the next Sunday and went to Sunday school. And I got the same welcome there. Everybody introduced themselves, and I met a lot of friends. So then in March, we came to the Passion Play. We came in, we sat down, and this play started. And I sat in awe. I watched the portrayal of Jesus being crucified on the cross for my sins. Mm. And I didn't know what that was all about,
never
truthfully.
Never realized that before.
No. And then at the end, you got up and you started talking about the ABCs of being a Christian. And I knew that I needed to learn more about that. So then you start talking about if there was anybody here that needed to ask Jesus into their heart or to profess Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their life. I was like, okay. And you said, if so, I'm fixing to say a prayer. Said, if you want to repeat the prayer, and then you can come speak to us afterwards. So we all stood, and you started saying this prayer. And before I knew it, my mouth was opened, and the words were coming out of my mouth out loud. I didn't know what was happening. I couldn't control it. I was looking around to see if anybody was actually listening to me, because I thought I was the only one. I didn't know what was going on. And we left, and I went to Sunday school. My friend Kristen, I had to tell her what I did. I wasn't sure what it was all about.
Yeah.
And I was just excited. I knew that there was something in me that was new.
Right.
I had never felt this feeling before.
Yeah.
And I was excited. And I knew there was something I needed to do about it.
Well, let's just kind of let Kristen pick up the story at that point now, or even before that. What were you, because y'all became friends, you met in Awana's, and you started becoming friends, and what did you see? What was going on with you, and what did you see in Kristen's life?
Carol's
life, yeah. You're Kristen, this is Carol.
I saw the Holy Spirit just moving her. I could tell from the moment that God brought us into each other's lives that He had been working on her from the questions that she had been asking. And the Sunday that she came to me and said, I said the prayer, we were like, yay! We were so excited. You could see the fire in her.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, that was so, oh my gosh. I cannot tell you how exciting it was to see the Holy Spirit moving in her, but I could not have done that if I had not been following God's word, listening to God's word, and just letting Him use me and use His word to see that. I mean, I had been faced with an experience 5 years ago where I had a child that was legally blind, and God said, okay, Kristen, I'm glad you're a Christian, I'm glad you're saved, but I need you to know me. And the only way to know Him is through His word. And because I was doing that, I saw the Holy Spirit in Carol. And it has just been amazing seeing her grow since then. I cannot tell you a blessing in my life.
Right. And so you've had the opportunity to help disciple her and everything. Well, Carol, what is different about your life now? What?
Attending Bible study.
I'm going to Sunday school every Sunday. Wow. I have never been in Sunday school as an adult.
Okay.
I'm experiencing God, and oh my gosh, I said a prayer out loud for the first time.
In a small group.
In a small group.
There were other people there, yeah.
I actually spoke out loud in small groups.
Because that's not necessarily
your
nature.
Oh no,
yeah.
And I'm up here today.
Yeah.
I don't do this. I don't. I sit in a corner.
Yeah. So would you say that Christ has radically changed your life?
Oh, 120%, 50%, yes.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank both of you for coming and sharing with us this morning. We're excited about what God has done in your life. And I just wanted y'all to have the opportunity to meet these ladies and just to hear about, because a lot of times we don't get to hear about what God is doing in other people's lives. But the Lord is at work, and thank you for being willing to come and share with us. I know this is kind of intimidating to sit up here for all these people, but thank you, and thank you for sharing your heart. God bless you.
Thank you.
Wow. You can clap if you want to. Okay. Yeah, now I'm going to stand here. Right. Well, what you just heard was the pattern that God uses. I mean, can you see that same thing that God was doing with Philip and the Ethiopian all the way back in Acts chapter 8? He's still doing it here today. What I see is a pattern there, and that's the pattern I want to show to you this morning. How God works in people and through people for this cause of evangelism. Because as a church, Don't we have a responsibility to not only share the gospel, but to see people come to Christ and to disciple them? God is at work throughout all that process, and He's got a pattern. And here it is. The first part of the pattern, and I believe this is key, is the Spirit of God. All right, the Spirit of God has to be at work. We see this in the life of Philip and the Ethiopian. Now, in the 26th verse here of Acts chapter 8, it starts with Philip down on this desert road south of Jerusalem. Now, if you go to the verses just before that, you'll find out that before that, he was up in Samaria. And in Samaria, he was really leading a revival up there. He had gone up to preach. You remember Simon Magus had seen all this stuff going on, and he tried to get this power, and Peter came up and had to rebuke him, but people were getting saved. The Scripture says that as Philip preached, people were believing the message, and they were coming to faith in Christ. And so now he leaves that, and he goes down to this desert road. It says in that 26th verse that he's down south of Jerusalem now. It's not just a desert road, it's a deserted road. Now I'd ask you this question. Why in the world would anybody who's a preacher and he's preaching to great crowds and people are coming to know Christ, why in the world would he leave that and would he go all the way down and find himself on a deserted road, nobody's around? I got a feeling he was standing there going, what in the world am I doing here? And then all of a sudden here came this little chariot. And this chariot has got this black man in it, this Ethiopian. And he's been to Jerusalem and he has been worshiping there. And he's picked up a scroll, the scroll of Isaiah. And he happens to be reading it on the way back. Now, the road that he was on, this deserted road, is not the main road that he could have or probably should have taken. There was a very large highway that left Jerusalem and went west, went to Gaza. And there it kind of linked up with the interstate, and that interstate, which was a big caravan trail, made its way all the way down to Egypt. Now, the road that the Ethiopian took would be kind of like FM 521. It wasn't necessarily a bad road. It's just not the main road that everybody would take. You know, there are better ways to get there. Now, why he did that, we're not told. It's just that he decided to take that way, maybe because he wanted more time reading the Scripture or whatnot. He didn't want a whole bunch of people around. And so he comes down the road, and there's a man standing there. He happens to be reading the Scripture out loud. And Philip hears him reading it. So he asks the question, do you understand what you're reading? He says, well, I need somebody to tell me about it. And so Philip says, well, I can. He jumps up in the chariot and he starts right there. He starts talking about Jesus. And before long, this Ethiopian had come to faith in Christ. Now here's my point. Philip didn't plan it that way. The Ethiopian didn't plan it that way. Neither one of those guys thought, hey, we're going to go down there and we're going to have this encounter and God's going to show up and this Ethiopian's going to be saved. Neither one of them figured it out. But God had it planned out. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit was at work. Even when Philip didn't understand it, even when the Ethiopian wasn't even aware of it, the Holy Spirit was at work in Philip's life. He was at work in the Ethiopian's life. He was working to bring them together. In our day, we would call it a divine appointment. And what I would say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, is the Holy Spirit is the key ingredient in any evangelistic encounter. If the Holy Spirit is not at work, then nothing's ever going to happen. In fact, evangelism is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit and His work. And He's got to work in both lives. The problem is that most of us aren't as sensitive as Philip was to the Holy Spirit. And since the Holy Spirit doesn't always work the way we think He ought to, many times we miss Him. I mean, if we're up in Samaria and we've got this great revival going on and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go down to that deserted road where there's not anybody, most of us are going to think, well, I must be hearing that wrong. Surely God doesn't want me to leave this place, you know. I mean, surely God doesn't want me to leave my comfortable surroundings and go to some place where there's not much going on. And what happens is the Holy Spirit works in our lives and in this world in ways that don't necessarily make a whole lot of sense to us, and as a result, some of us miss it. I mean, why in the world should we go off to Mexico when we could stay right here and I'm sure there's plenty of stuff here? Or why, or if God wanted to call me to resort ministry in the Bahamas, man, I'm ready to hear that. But if He wants me to go down here to the prison and do prison ministry with prisoners, I'm not sure that the Holy Spirit really is leading in that direction. You understand how we work this thing out? I mean, we have ideas or thoughts or ways that we think ought to happen, but God doesn't work those ways. The Bible says that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. God sometimes works in ways that we don't understand and might not even make sense to us. And yet what God says is, if you're going to be My child and if I'm going to use you to reach this world, and that, brothers and sisters, is our calling, then we've got to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But you know, not only that, the Holy Spirit was at work in that Ethiopian's life, and He's got to be working in people's lives who don't know Him if they're ever going to come to know Christ. No lost person is ever going to be saved unless the Holy Spirit is at work in their life. It's just never going to happen. The Holy Spirit was at work in Carol's life. She didn't even realize she was lost. Let me tell you something. Somebody was praying for Carol. And it might not happen until the first time that she came walking in these doors and she met some of these people. First time she went to Sunday school over here and she met some people there in Sunday school. First time she took Jonathan to Awana's and then got to know some of those folks. Somebody was praying for her. Anytime, my experience has been, anytime the Holy Spirit works in somebody's life, somebody's praying. Somebody was praying for me when I came to know Christ. I'll tell you who it was. It was my precious grandmother. When you came to know Jesus Christ, somebody was praying for you. And what I'm saying is that we can't necessarily predict or make the Holy Spirit work in somebody's life, but we can pray for them. And I'll tell you this, if you know people, whether it's in your work or whether it's the school that you go to or it's your neighbors perhaps or people in your family, and they don't know Christ, you need to be praying for those folks. In fact, if you don't have a prayer list of people on it that don't know Jesus that you regularly take before the throne of grace and say, "Oh God, would you do something in their life?" If you're not doing that, brothers and sisters, you are not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. There's an old saying that says, don't try to talk to somebody about Jesus until you've talked to Jesus about that somebody. Successful evangelism begins with the work of the Holy Spirit within us and within the other person. So this is what happens. The Spirit of God, number one, takes or uses the Word of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God. Was it a coincidence that the Ethiopian was reading the Scripture? Well, I don't think so. In fact, the Lord God, through the Holy Spirit, had already been at work in that Ethiopian's life with the Word of God. You know what the Word of God does? Is it softens our heart. The Word of God begins to move and break up the hard places of our hearts so that we can hear the gospel. And so Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "Well, I need somebody to teach me." Philip jumped up there, and it says there in verse 35 that Philip began with that very passage of Scripture. Now notice this. Philip just didn't get up and start telling a bunch of stuff that he thought or that he knew. It says that he got up, and in that passage of Scripture, he began to tell the good news about Jesus. Now, when it says he began in that passage of Scripture, the implication is he didn't stop there, that he just kept right on going. He kept unrolling that scroll. And then when he got to the end of Isaiah, he began to bring up all these other passages of Scripture in the Old Testament. And he showed that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the one who saves. On every page of the Old Testament, if he had had a Bible, he would have been able to show where Jesus was right there and how Jesus is the one that saved. Last week when I preached from this passage of Scripture, I said that you don't have to believe the Bible in order to be saved. And, you know, I had some people come up to me and say, "That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. What in the world are you talking about?" Well, let me just try to clarify that just a little bit, because it's very important. And I'll say again what I said last week. You don't have to believe the Bible in order to be saved. There is the written Word of God and there is the living Word of God. Now, do you know what the living Word of God is? It's Jesus. Now, we are saved by the living Word of God. All right? We are saved by grace. Come on, somebody say amen. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace... I know, some of you are going, what in this guy is... not? For by grace are you saved. Thank you. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. All right? So we are saved by the grace of God. That is the living Word of God. Jesus comes into our life and saves us. But just because I say you don't have to believe the Bible in order to be saved, that doesn't mean the Bible or the written Word of God is unimportant. In fact, I would say it is vitally important. Because what God does is, by His Holy Spirit, is He takes the written Word and He applies it to our heart to break up those hard places in our heart. Let me just give you a verse of Scripture. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing. Now remember, we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8. Remember that? So by grace you are saved through faith. So in Romans 10, 17, it says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard how? Through the Word of Christ. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So what the Holy Spirit does is He takes the Word of God and He begins to apply it to our heart. Even when we don't believe it, even when we might not even understand it, even when we don't even accept it, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He begins to apply it to our heart. And He begins to break off all those hard places. And He begins to soften it so that when Jesus, the living Word, is applied, then our hearts are ready and able to accept the grace of God and so that we can be saved. By the way, this is why we need to share Christ. This is why we need to share the Word of God. And this is why we need to share it, even if somebody says, I don't believe it. And that's why you don't have to ask somebody, do you believe it or not? Just share it. That's what we try to do here in this church. That's why when you come to this church, and it just blessed my heart, when Carol said, you know, when I came to this church, Brother Greg got out there and he opened the Bible and everybody opened the Word. And we began to preach from the Word of God. You know where that comes from? About 23 years ago now, in fact, 23 years ago last month, I was called to pastor Nolan Baptist Church, my very first pastorate. And, you know, I've mentioned it before, on high attendance Sunday, we'd have 19 in Sunday school. I mean, you know, it's just a small country church, and people would ride up on their horses. No, not really. Most everybody had a truck. And so I went there the 1st of January in 1986. And I had about four or five sermons already prepared because I had preached them in other places, and I preached those sermons. And I got to the end of it, the end of January, and I was out of sermons. And you know, when you're a pastor, you just can't get up on Sunday morning and make stuff up. I mean, some do perhaps, but you know, I kind of like to be prepared. And you can't get up and say, well, I don't know what to say today. People don't understand that. You're not going to be pastor very long when you do that. And so I had to decide, now what am I going to preach? And I realized at that time that I wasn't smart enough to make anything up to tell people that would really make any difference or that would fool them. You know, I've said before, I know I look smart, but I'm not that smart. And if you're not sure about that, just ask Donna and she'll tell you. So at that point I decided, I went before God and said, God, what am I going to preach? I don't know what to preach. And He said, open the Word, dummy. And so I began to open the Word, and at that point, I made a commitment in my life and in my ministry as a pastor that when I got into the pulpit, when I stood before people, since I wasn't smart enough to make stuff up, I didn't know what to say, I was just going to preach the Bible. I was just going to open the Word and share the Word of God with people. And you know what? God has blessed that. And that's why when we come into this church, we're going to hear the Word of God. When we go to the Sunday school classes around here, it blesses my heart to think that Sunday school teachers have spent the week preparing, studying the Word of God. So that when you get together, listen, you're going to spend some time fellowshipping, but that Sunday school class is not just a time where we sit around and talk about what happened at work this week or all the things that went on this past week. We're going to talk about those things, but we're going to take the Word of God and we're going to share with one another and we're going to apply the Word of God to our lives. I mean, think about the passion play. Carol mentioned that it was in that passion play that she saw the Word of God depicted. She saw Jesus crucified on that cross. Isn't that amazing? That she had heard it and we had preached it and all of those things. But when she saw it, and that was the Word of God applied to her life. And brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is all we have is the Word, because the Spirit of God takes the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the apostle wrote, "For the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Now what that's saying is that the Word of God is so powerful that it's able to do what God wants it to do in the heart. In fact, all the way back in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, God said, "So my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." In other words, God's word goes out like this, and God knows what He's doing, and He takes that word and He applies it to our heart. So what I'm saying is, you don't have to believe the Bible to be saved, but the Word of God, the written word, God uses to apply to our heart, to soften it up, so the living Word of God can come and save us. We are saved by grace through faith. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God. That's the first two parts of the pattern. Here's the third part. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God through the messenger of God. Now, please don't miss this, because this is where it hits us right between the eyes. Here comes the Ethiopian. He's reading the Word of God. The Spirit of God is at work. And he's reading it out loud, and Philip just happens to be standing there, led by the Spirit, and he says, "You understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian says, "I need somebody to teach me." Philip says, "I can do that." He jumps up in the chariot and he starts right there in that passage of Scripture. And Philip begins to preach and teach the good news about Jesus. Now, if Philip had just watched that chariot go on by and not said anything, or if he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, I need somebody to teach me." If Philip had said, "Well, I hope you find somebody. Good luck with that." That Ethiopian would have just gone on down the road and he would have remained in darkness, and chances are he never would have been saved. Now, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God through the messenger of God. Let me give you another verse in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10:14, it says, "How then can they call on the one that they have not heard?" Now, in just a couple of verses before that, he says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. That whoever opens their mouth and says, "Lord God, will you save me?" Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, now he asks the question. Well, how can they call on whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? In other words, God says, "I'm going to send my messenger, the preacher." And my messenger, the preacher, through the Holy Spirit, is going to share the Word of God. And he says that's how they're going to hear and they're going to be brought to faith. Remember, we're saved by grace through faith. But how can someone have faith if they never hear? And so God uses the messenger to share the message. Now, why did God choose to do that? I don't know. He didn't have to. Do you know that there are plenty of stars up there in the sky that if God had wanted to, He could have written His Word in the sky on the stars. So that anybody, all you got to do is just look up and you can read the Word of God. For some reason, He chose not to do that. If God had wanted to, He could have put one of His angels sitting on one of those clouds that come floating by every day with a megaphone, and that angel could have just shouted out the Word of God as he went by so that everybody would have heard it. God could have done that if that's what He chose to do, but that's not what He chose to do. For some reason, God chose to use messengers, to use His people to share the message. And if you think about it, it's crazy. It is foolishness. In fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about in verse 21, since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Now, do you get that? God, for some reason, in His wisdom, He chose to use the foolishness of the words that come out of the mouth of a preacher or the words that come out of the mouth of His people. God chose, for whatever reason, and why He did it, I still don't know, but that's what He chose to do. To use the words that come out of the mouth of His people to see people get saved. That's why we preach the Word. That's why in Sunday school we teach the Word. That's why in the Passion Play, we share the Word. And I just want you to think about this for just a moment. Because we're working on this Passion Play. And by the way, today's the last day to sign up. If you hadn't signed up, you need to just think about this. Everybody who has anything to do with that Passion Play, whether it's making cookies for the fellowship afterwards, or whether it's being the actor who portrays Jesus who gets whipped and nailed to the cross, everybody who has the least little bit in the Passion Play is participating in preaching the gospel. And if you don't believe that's true, let's get Carol back up here and let's ask her about it, because she heard the gospel preached. And everybody's got a part in it, preaches the gospel. That's what we're doing as a church. And by the way, if we do not preach the gospel, then we need to quit it. If we're not using it to reach people for Christ, let's just quit that and everything else we're doing. Because the goal, the purpose that we have as a congregation, as a body of Christ, is to share the gospel of Christ, to share the Word, and to see people come to know Christ. We can't do it on our own, but the Spirit of God uses the Word of God through the messenger of God. And that's people like you and me. And some people say, well, Brother Greg, I don't think God can use me. Well, you know what? If God can use a donkey, He could use you. Amen. God can use a donkey, He could use you. God could use me, He could use you. And some people say, well, Brother Greg, I'm afraid I might make a mistake if I try to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, the only mistake you can ever make in sharing Christ is not do it. That's the only mistake you can make. Because the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, and Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say, I'll put the words in your mouth. So if you've got a friend, you've got a neighbor, you've got somebody in your family that you've been praying over, and they come riding by on a chariot reading the Word of God or something else like that, and you ask them a question, let God use you. That's the only mistake we can make, is hiding ourselves from the Lord and not allowing Him to use us. Because the Spirit of God uses the Word of God through the messenger of God. And then here's the last part of the pattern. To produce a child of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God through the messenger of God to produce a child of God. That 39th verse says that the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. He heard the message. The Word had already softened up his heart. He was brought to that saving faith in Christ. And he professed that faith, and then he was baptized as a symbol of that faith. And as he went on down the road that day, he went on as a new creation. He was changed. He was different. And by the way, tradition has it that he went back to Ethiopia and he became a missionary there. In fact, the Coptic Church, which is just a different branch of Christianity, is like Baptist. The Coptic Church was founded right there in Ethiopia. And most historians believe that this Ethiopian eunuch is the one that founded it. From Ethiopia, the gospel spread in the first 400 years after Christ. It spread across North Africa. In fact, by the year 400, North Africa was one of the greatest centers of Christianity in all of the world. And most historians believe it was because an Ethiopian eunuch who trusted in Jesus as his Savior while he was going down a deserted road that day went back to Ethiopia and he shared that faith with him because his life was changed. You see, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God through the messenger of God to produce a child of God, and then it just keeps going on from there. And so that child of God is used by the, or is moved by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, and that messenger to produce another child of God, and then another, and another, and another. Brothers and sisters, that's what God does, and that's what He wants to do in your life and in my life. Why did He decide to save you? Why did Jesus save you? Why was it that day when you were going down that deserted road, reading from Isaiah, or however it happened to you, that the Holy Spirit moved in your heart and your life to bring you to saving faith? Was that just because He loved you so much He just wanted you in heaven with Him? Well, yeah, He did. But you know what? He loves those other folks out there too. And He wants them in heaven as well. And what God, the reason God has left you here is so that the Spirit of God, using the Word of God through your life, could produce another child of God. So, that's the pattern. God's Spirit uses God's Word through God's messenger to produce God's child. Now, what do we need to do about it? Well, a couple of things. Number one, we need to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. If you're going to be used by God, that means you've got to be sensitive. It means that you need to be praying for those who don't know Christ, that the Holy Spirit would work in their lives as well, because nothing you ever say is going to make any difference unless the Spirit of God has been working in their life. It means you need to be reading, studying, memorizing, applying the Word of God. And that's why we do things like that right here in this church. You need to be doing it in your home. We've got things like Experiencing God to help us take the Word and apply it to our own lives, so that when the time comes and somebody's reading from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, we can say, do you understand what you're reading? When he says no, we can say, do you mind if I share it with you? That's why we study the Word of God. So we apply it to our own lives. We need to be sensitive to those things. And then as we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and as we pray, and as we take the Word into ourselves, then we also need to be sharing it. Sowing the precious seed. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God through the messenger of God to produce the child of God. That's what He's doing today. He was doing it back then. That's what He wants to do in your life. Father God, help us today to be that people, to be those ones, Lord, sensitive to Your Word and to Your way, Lord, who allow You to speak in us and to speak through us. Lord, who are doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Father, I pray that You would help us to be that people, to take the Word and to apply it and then to share it. That's the calling that You've placed upon us. You did it in Philip's life. Lord, You can do it in ours too. And Father, there's somebody here today that You're applying the Word to their heart. And now the living Word, Jesus, stands ready to save. Oh God, would You let today be the day of salvation? As Your Spirit moves, as Your Word comes alive, as Your messengers and servants minister it, Lord, would You do that saving work that only You can do? Help us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.